Sure, can you please stand up so we can at least acknowledge you? Short-term missionaries, can you all stand up? Yeah. Yay, yeah, all right. Every summer, Canaan sends young people antidotes to Taiwan to work among Aborigine children in the mountains, right? So so those experiences I've heard are kind of sweet and exciting. I say sweet on purpose, maybe because you're sweet to the mosquitoes. So hopefully in the years ahead, next year or so, we may also find other places to do mission works. So just let me know if you have an interest to go someplace else, like maybe South America or Antarctica. Okay, so so without further ado, we have three of our short-term missionaries who will share quick testimonies or short observations, or maybe just what you consider a report. So Cindy, Cindy, Toby, and Vincent, did you decide who goes first? No? You're pointing to each other. They decide Vincent's going to go first? Well, let me think. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay, all right, Cindy's coming up first. Okay, come on up, Cindy. And here, there's a mic here for you. up to you, but it's better to stand up there and feel very, very self-conscious.
Okay. Hi, I'm Cindy. I don't know if you all know, but because I've been away at school for a year, I guess. But yeah, so just some background information. This is a short-term missions trip that I guess Canaan supports and sends off every year to Taiwan. And we work in two different parts of Taiwan. We go to Nantou, which is kind of in the middle of Taiwan, and then we go to Pingdong, which is like the south, in the south part of Taiwan. And then we work with two different groups of people, but we all work with students. The first week is, well, both weeks are kind of, I guess, advertised as English camps. And the first week is with a lot more of the city kids. And then the second week when we're in Pingdong, we work more with the Aboriginal students. So so as short-term missionaries, we go back and, you know, as missionaries, we're supposed to, our goal to really go and share God's love and share the gospel. Even though we're also technically supposed to be teaching English. But this is kind of what we do. And this is my third summer. This is my third summer going back. And I actually didn't attend both weeks. I only went to the first week, the one in Nantou. And I guess I helped a bit with the logistics. So I'm going to talk a little bit more, I guess, from the perspective of someone who's attended for the third time, and also kind of more from a leadership perspective. I think every year, if you've heard in the past, people share, leaders are always concerned about the fact that our team's not experienced, is new, young, and that was definitely still the same. It was still, even more, I think, I felt really, really worried. The team was not only inexperienced, both younger and older in terms of the age gap. It was also, I felt in terms of the younger, some of the younger, the short-term missionaries, they were, I felt spiritually less mature. And then a lot of them didn't attend Canaan also. So it was a really different dynamic. We had to not only get to, I didn't only have to familiarize the whole team with what we're doing, but also with each other. So that was another challenge. But I think coming back for the third year, I knew more clearly, what the purpose of a missionary was. You know, it's not to teach English, but it's really to share the gospel. And yeah, I think that was probably the trickiest part, to get everyone on the same page. Like, hey, we're here. You're not on a trip. You're not teaching English, but you're here to be a missionary. What does that mean? And what does sharing the gospel mean? And even more, even for you guys, what does it mean to be a missionary? Here in the U.S., anyone can be a missionary, right? And where they are at, you don't have to go anywhere. And it's just to share the gospel. And then the question is, what is the gospel, right? So hopefully everyone knows what that is. but anyway, I guess my biggest takeaway from this trip was that really with this group of not so experienced, not so knowing what they're doing, team really was used by God nevertheless. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, like the less you are, the more I am, or something. And it's the idea that, like, the smaller we are as a team, the less we seem, maybe in worldly eyes, the less prepared we feel. Not that being not prepared is good, but the less we are, the more, when God does choose to use us, all the glory really is for Him. And I think I saw that the fruit that was bared from that week, because I only saw the first week, but I definitely know the second week, people can testify to that. Just the fruit that was bore, in those 2 weeks, that was not our team, because we're not capable of that, but that really was God. And I think the next two people will probably go into detail about what exactly, kind of more details of what they saw, and how God worked in their team and in Taiwan. But really, like, all the glory goes to God, because with our team, it definitely isn't possible with just us. Because we have a God who already won and is victorious. So yeah, I think this summer, God was saying, I'll end with this. God was saying, you know, look, I'm going to use this team, and I'm going to use you. And He said, join me. And I saw God work in a lot of different ways, and I hope that He speaks to you in that way also, that He says, look, I'm going to do a lot of things through you and you. Join me. So not do your own thing and think that that's what God wants you to do, but hey, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I want to do. Come and join me. So I hope that you can all partner with God, even if you're right here, and you don't have to go very far. You can see God work if you choose to join Him. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. Cindy is a veteran. Okay, I guess we'll go from veteran to another veteran, a young... Toby is a veteran, aren't you? Yeah, but you're younger than Cindy, so we'll call you a younger veteran. Okay, so here's your mic, and you also have the option of feeling self-conscious but looking cool, or staying down here and still, you know.
I'll just stay down here.
Okay, you stay down there. Okay.
I have a slideshow. Can you go to the first slide? Okay, I'll just start. hi, my name is Toby. I'm 16 years old, and this is my third year going on this mission trip to Taiwan. I guess the thing about missions is that I think every year you go back, it's kind of the same routine. You know, the camp is run the same way, you have the same jobs, you have the same dorms and everything, but I think every year you go back, you have this completely new experience. And I remember my first year in 2012, I was so excited to go on missions. I was like super pumped up, and so same goes for last year. I was really, really excited. But like this year, I guess I was actually like weeks before we left to Taiwan, I was actually kind of dreading it. I was like, I just didn't want to go, and I was kind of disappointed that I didn't have the same mindset as I did my previous years. Because when I went in 2012, I kind of made this commitment to myself that I guess that I would go back every year, and at least until I graduated high school. So, but about a week before, I kind of wished I could take it back, because, you know, missions in general is kind of just physically painful. Like, it's so hot, and there's so many bugs. Like, I hate spiders. The showers, I'm so terrified of the showers. But I'm not trying to, like, scare any of you guys who want to go. It's just, my point is that, believe me when I say it's all completely worth it. And I guess I realized this on the bus. When I stepped off the bus at Uyuh High School, I heard someone shout my name, like, really, really loudly. And I remember I knew who it was before I looked. My previous SGL from last year, Cherry, she was standing there with this big smile on her face. And I guess, you know, you forget how many relationships you make there, not just with the kids, but also with the team there. I guess it's one of the reasons I keep going back each year. So, yeah. Switch the slide. So we jumped into pre-camp. It was really packed. It was always one thing after the other. There's cleaning, icebreakers, worship, learning all the dances, bonding with the team, prayer, class prep, all of that. And it was really exhausting, but it was also really fun and full of energy. I was assigned group one, which is the youngest, and I also got Lillian as my TM. TMs are kind of like teacher's assistants and translators from Shanghai and Taipei American School. At this point, I definitely felt like God was on my side. As you all probably know, I really like working with little kids, so that was cool. And my TM, Lillian, has been doing AEF for like more than 5 years, so she was really experienced. And also my SGLs, which are small group leaders, they were all really friendly and easy to get along with, so I bonded with them a lot. I felt like God didn't want me to worry about anything except like the kids. Like, you know, all I had to do was love them and bond with them, but I thought that would be easy, but I was actually really wrong. They were really crazy. I think Taiwan kids are like 3 times more crazy than kids here. They're literally like all over the place all the time. Like all the boys, they run around and you can't control them. And the girls are really clingy, and then it's like, it's really hard to just like have patience with them. But I think I didn't realize it then, but God really did give me everything I needed. I managed to teach them a lot of English. They really liked learning English, so that was cool. And I also taught them a lot of like simple Bible points and stuff. After the testimony night, or the cry night, as we like to call it, I returned to the dorms with a few of my girls. And as I tucked them into bed, you know, I just told them, God loves you and I love you too. And even though it was really simple and it was kind of cheesy, a few of my kids just burst into tears all over again. And I guess I wasn't expecting that. I think it just testifies how God's love can, you know, overcome anything. Like, I didn't have to say much, and they were still really touched. So, you know, it can overcome language barriers, and his love, like, shines through. And that he can, you know, use anyone to really show his love. Okay. Switch. So after a very tearful goodbye at AEF, we got on a bus and drove to Pingdong to start our second week. It was kind of a similar routine, except the pre-camp was a lot more relaxed and laid back, so we had a lot of time to, you know, regain our energy and strength. I got to know my SGLs really well, and again, I got along super well with my team. It was my first year being the only STMer both weeks on the team, and it was also my first year teaching middle school kids. So that was kind of scary. When my kids arrived, they were all very outgoing and, like, cool. I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're really cool. And, like, they're only a year younger than me, but I didn't tell them that or else, you know. But they would only talk to each other. And when I would, like, try to get to know them, sometimes I felt like this, like, loser kid trying to fit into the cool crowd. But throughout the week, we did eventually get to know each other a little better. However, not as much as I would have liked, because the camp was only 3 days, and so it was kind of a short time period to get to know them. I came to realize that the kids in Pingdong were actually in desperate need for love and care. One of my kids, Tina is the one on your right, in the top right corner. I actually had a really bad first impression of her just because my SGLs, before camp started, they told me, like, oh, she's really talkative and, you know, she kind of likes to create ruckus and, you know, she doesn't listen to teachers, all that stuff. So from the first day, I had my eye on her. But while it was true that she talked a lot and she laughed a lot, it never really became a problem. So that was cool. But during the cry night for second week, she tried to share her testimony, but she couldn't stop crying. And so in the end, she just didn't share. And I guess it was just too painful for her to say it out loud. And I really wanted to ask her, but I never had the time to, which is something I really regret. But after camp had ended, she actually Facebooked me her testimony, which was cool. And it took me a really long time to read and translate, but I finally understood her. And she actually came to be one of the people I admire most in my life. This is what she told me. When she was younger, her family was really poor. They all had to pick up trash for a living. She was neglected because her parents favored her younger siblings more. And a few years later, they gave her up for adoption. And like, this wasn't when she was like a baby, you know, like this wasn't when she was fully aware and grown up enough to know that her parents actually gave her up. And she was adopted into a new family. But from what I gather, it wasn't that much better, because she told me that just because she wanted to go to this camp, that her father had like hit her. And I saw how much she sacrificed just to go to this camp. And but she was always smiling, she was always laughing and having fun. And if it's one thing I remember about her, she was always laughing, like seriously always laughing. She had this really weird laugh too, so it always made me laugh. And it's hard for me to believe that someone with a childhood like hers, you know, she could still smile and she could still try her best to live her life to the fullest. And I think it's just a really good lesson for, you know, everybody. There are definitely times in Pingdong, you know, where I complain about the heat, where I just wish I could go home, where I just wanted to sleep. But missions isn't about us. You know, it's not about our comfort. And Cindy said that like a million times. It's not about our comfort. It's for the kids. You know, we go to serve and not to be served. And I guess it sucks for me that I only realized this after camp had ended. But even though I can't go back and change my attitude and, you know, try harder, I guess I can still focus on the present, because we're still in touch through Facebook. And even though we're on opposite sides of the world, I hope I can still share her God's love and, you know, just continue to talk to her and support her wherever she's going in life. Missions doesn't just end with the camp, you know, it goes on. And even though I did have a lot of regrets, it did teach me a lesson, and, you know, it was all part of God's plan. So, switch. I know I said in the beginning that every year you have a different experience, but the most important thing I think that never changes is that no matter what, God uses every single person on the team, and because everyone is there for a reason. And even though it was personally hard for me to see his plan sometimes, it was hard for me to trust him, he really does come through. And there were a lot of bumps in the road, but I'm really thankful for our STMR team. Once again, this trip was an amazing experience. I saw so many kids and my fellow STMers, TMs, and SGLs grow in Christ during those 2 weeks. I want to give a shout-out to our awesome three leaders, Cindy, Faith, and Elder Wu. I wouldn't have gotten through the 2 weeks without them. And lastly, I want to thank all of you guys for all your support and prayer. I can't tell you how much it made a difference in our trip. And I hope you guys will consider going on missions next year, because I know I'll be going back.
Okay. Hello, my name is Vincent. And before I talk about my experience, let me share about my relationship with Taiwan, because I grew up in Taiwan. I was born there, but I came to the U.S. around 7. And I really didn't go back for about another 20 years until Wendy and I got married, and we went back to visit relatives as husband and wife. So that was a long time of not going back to Taiwan. And once we had Christian and Connor, we started going back more often. And now every summer, when they're out of school, they go back, and then I join them every couple of years or so. And so we've always thought about, you know, we've heard about Taiwan missions, and Wendy and I have always thought about maybe we should go and try it. But we always kind of had some excuse like, oh, it's, you know, hard, or the kids are too young, and, you know, because we wouldn't just leave Christian and Connor with grandparents, but, you know, we would all go. That was a plan. So this year, we felt they were old enough to go, and even though they're just a little bit older than the kids there, but so we went, and I kind of knew what to expect because from previous testimonies from previous years, but you know, I knew it was going to be hot, but that was everywhere in Taiwan, so that was okay. And people talked about kids being rowdy and not being obedient, and so I kind of expected that, and I felt like I had many years teaching in children's worship, so I should be okay. But then I realized, like, when I saw the schedule, I'm supposed to teach three or four classes a day, and not just an hour a day on Sunday, right? And I was supposed to, you know, in children's worship, I had a whole week to prepare. I had slides, and I can show them to keep the kids interested. And over there, we didn't really have any laptops to show the kids and slides. And so, you know, I was that was my main concern, kind of during the pre-camp. And you know, how was I going to keep the kids interested? And luckily, we had other SGLs with short, small group leaders, and also the teacher assistants there. But so I was, you know, I learned to trust God. But during that pre-camp, the team prayed, and we kind of got to know each other. And so I felt better, and I felt that God was telling me that if I was willing to serve and to trust in Him, that He would do great things. And so going to that camp, I was, you know, nervous, but I was kind of looking forward to what God would do. And so the first day, the kids came, and I had fourth and fifth graders, and Connor was kind of like my helper, short-term missionary helper, and we had a few other people from the Nantou church there who spoke mainly Mandarin, and then some of the translators from the American school in China and Taiwan, I think what Toby mentioned. They can speak both, so they help translate. And so the kids came, and I noticed, you know, there were the shy kids who just, especially girls, they just go there and sit and are really quiet. And then some of the boys are kind of rowdy. And, you know, I told them, you know, because when they came in, I wanted them to not let them pick wherever they wanted to sit. I wanted them, okay, you sit here. And so some of the boys like, no, I don't want to sit there, you know. And so I already felt like, okay, there was going to be some sort of struggle. And so anyways, the two kids that I wanted to kind of briefly mention, they were boys that kind of caught my attention because they were, oh, that's one of them, that's Chris. They're both kind of loners or kind of not, like during class time, they'd rather do their own things than follow what the whole class was doing. And also, yeah, they just were not, you know, not that obedient, if you can say. But I knew they were good kids because they weren't being disobedient on purpose. They were just had other interests. And the second boy, Ian, can you go to the next boy too? They're both very similar in their attitude towards class and how, you know, and how they want to do their own things. And they even kind of not fought, but they kind of, you know, threaten each other in some cases. But so I felt, I felt like I really needed to connect with them more. And I felt that I, instead of being a teacher that kind of told them, do this, don't do that, you know, to the class in general, not just Ian and Chris, but I felt like I needed to be, to get to them better and maybe be more their friend, because we had other teachers that could kind of do the disobedience thing. And one thing I learned was when the kids first came in, I spoke English, and then they were kind of, you know, because I was supposed to be at English camp, so that's what I did. But then I, you know, I could tell I wasn't really getting through, so I spoke a little Taiwanese, and they were all like amazed I can speak Taiwanese. And then they were amazed, like, but you can't speak Mandarin, but you can speak Taiwanese. Okay. But I felt like I could connect with them better doing that. And so so I decided to speak more Taiwanese during the class. We did go through English lessons in the handbook and everything. So that was a fun experience getting to know the kids. And I felt that was the whole purpose of the camp, was to get to know them and not necessarily telling them, this is how you learn, or this is, you know, these are the words in English for broccoli, for camel. You know, we went through animals and fruits. And so I think that was a good experience. So I wanted to share about a couple things that I was there. Wendy and I were both the older STMers, so to speak, because we had everyone else. Yeah, no one else was married or had kids. So we were the only ones that had And so I felt that that was a unique perspective that we had as parents, because they could be our kids, right? And so we saw them as potentially people that we weren't trying to like, okay, I need to teach you this, you know, that's my job, I need you to do this so that I could do my job and do this. So I saw them more as like my own sons and daughters, or sons, I'm more used to sons, but as my own kids, and how it's okay if you're not learning what you're supposed to learn, but as long as we have a good relationship and I can share with you some of the things I wanted to share with them. And so the first few days was very busy in class, learning the dancing, the English, and playing games, and just in general getting everyone to do the same thing, because a lot of times they were, you know, we try to get the kids to play one game, but some of them want to do their own things. And so that was a little discouraging. But, you know, something inside me said, you know, you got to share the gospel. And, you know, there was the Holy Spirit kind of prompting me to do that. And so first day was too busy. We didn't do it. But finally, I think the fourth day, we had a big chunk of class time. And so I was able to share the simple illustration of how man and God are separated, and how God sent Christ as a cross to bridge that gap, even though man tries to reach God by, you know, doing various things, going to church, being good, doing good works, and how those things aren't enough. And so I shared that, and my SGL Antoinette translated, and I can tell some kids were listening, some of the boys were not, so, but I was okay with that. I just kept going, and then we ended up with a prayer that asked God to come in, asked Jesus to come in our hearts. And so that was it. But after that, I was encouraged, because after that, we had free time during class, and some of the girls came up to the chalkboard and drew their own illustration of, you know, their own version of the cross and the two gaps. And so I was encouraged. I was like, oh, they paid attention, you know. So I was encouraged by that. And so I think what I learned from this trip was that a couple of things: to really trust God in, even though you don't know how things are going to turn out, even though you don't know how you're going to do what you're supposed to be doing. Like I was saying at the beginning, I was only used to teaching for an hour, hour and a half. And so, but I felt that God was telling me, if you're willing to serve, you know, I will do great things. And so I think, looking back on it, whenever you go through some hardship, some hard struggles, like what Toby was saying, it was hot, it was, the schedule was jam-packed, and there's always something to do. After you go through a week and a half of it, and you look back on it, you thought, wow, that was, even though it was hard, but it was rewarding and it was worth it. And so I think that was a good lesson for me in life, that whenever you're going through hardships, to trust God and to really go through it, endure it, because at the end, when you look back, it'll be a good time, you know, that you will remember. And I wanted to end with just that, to share that, I think Connor might share it or not when he comes, but, you know, he was really sad when we had to leave. We actually left a day earlier, because after the kids left Friday, we cleaned up, at night we had a dinner in town, and then we took off right there while the rest of the team went another day before going to the second week and of camp. And Wendy and the boys and I only went to the first week. But Connor's like, no, I want to stay. Can you just pick me up later, and I'll go, you know. And so we said, no, we can't do that. We gotta go. And so, you know, we were in the shuttle and going to the high-speed rail, and, you know, it's a little bit sad because we were, you know, intense bonding time for a week and a half, and now we just gotta go, okay, bye, and we won't see these people, most of them, for another year unless we go back next year. And so it was a little sad, but I think it affected Connor more than Christian. The next day, Connor was kind of just sad, laying around looking at the AEF Facebook page, flipping through the pictures. And we're like, Connor, let's go. We're in Taiwan. Let's go do stuff. So I think it was a good experience, and I know that both of them said that they wanted to go back next year, and we'll talk about that later on. But I think it was a good experience, and it was also a great time during the testimonies too. And so, you know, a lot of times the kids, they have a image like, oh, I'm tough, I'm, you know, I can do whatever I want. But during the testimony, some of the boys were like covering their faces. You know, they had hats, and so they kind of went like this, and so you couldn't tell that they were, you know, kind of touched or crying. And so, you know, it reminded me that the kids, to see them as God sees them and not as the exterior that they put up, and to really love them. So that's one thing I learned. So that's it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Vincent. Always good to get a parent's perspective on short-term mission. And okay, and thank you, Toby and Cindy and Vincent and all the other short-term missionaries for giving 2 weeks of your lives this year to being with young people in Taiwan. The gospel is life-changing, is transforming, and God really would like all of us to put ourselves in a place where we can help others see that. Touching people's lives through this very intense 2 weeks at short-term mission is a great way of learning how God actually is at work. So hopefully in the future we'll have more time. I want to encourage all of us here, even if you haven't done any service or haven't gone doing mission, to see your life as sort of a missionary wherever you go. Your primary responsibility as a Christian is to provide a situation to invite people to be transformed by Jesus Christ. And that will be transforming for you as well. So as we think about that and appreciate the sharing that was given to us, we'll have more in next couple of weeks. But I just want to encourage you to then just turn your attention to what it means to give back to God what He has given to us. In fact, we're not really giving back anything. We're basically just saying to the Lord, thank you for life. Thank you for all that you've provided. And what I'm doing here is just a small gesture of knowing that you have made my life worth it. You have transformed and changed my life. So before Jeffrey and Catherine collect our offering, let's pray. And can you all stand with me as we pray? And so I invite you, let's pray together. I invite you all to, having heard the stories shared by Toby and Cindy and Vincent, I pray that our hearts here would likewise be stirred, that we would be challenged to think of our everyday life as lives of service for Christ. So even as we are now going to give back to you, Lord Jesus, a portion of our resources, may this also reflect our desire to serve you all the time, to give our entire lives to you, so that others can also see the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that by our touching of their lives, they too will be transformed. So thank you, God, for just choosing us to be your servants and your missionaries. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.